Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our Bible study series examines a specific part of God's Word of Truth. We pray that through this study, your faith will be built up and you will grow in your knowledge and understanding of God's Word through what you hear.
Welcome back to another Burden and Blessing Podcast. My name is Ben Libby, and with me is Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew. And today we're going to go through the Old Testament book of the prophet Zechariah. Daniel, how are you doing?
Good, Ben. Good to be with you again.
Yeah,
excited to talk about another one of these Old Testament prophets with you.
Yeah, we're running out of them. The minor prophets are almost spent. Zechariah is the second to last book in the Old Testament. And as talking about minor prophets, Zechariah is not very minor. There are 14 chapters. There's a lot going on, so I guess we'll just kind of jump right into it here, Nathaniel. Can you tell us who Zechariah is? When is this written? What's going on here?
So over the last couple of podcasts that we've been talking about, we've been trying to, for the most part, work through these chronologically. So as far as the history of the Old Testament goes, we're at the period that we would call post-exile. So the children of Israel were taken into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar. He came and destroyed Jerusalem. He destroyed the temple, took three waves of captives into captivity in Babylon. 70 years later, Jeremiah predicted that they would return from captivity. So during that time frame, the Medes and the Persians come in. They conquer the Babylonians. Daniel, who we've talked about a little bit, he transitioned from the authority in the Babylonian kingdom into the Medes and the Persians. But it was Cyrus that the Lord, again through Isaiah, foretold specifically would be the king that the Lord would raise up to send his people back to the promised land. So that happens under Cyrus. And so Zechariah and Haggai, who would be his contemporary, these were two prophets that the Lord raised up after the return of the captives to the promised land, as they were really wrestling with rebuilding not only the city of Jerusalem and their homes in Jerusalem, but also the tabernacle. Haggai in particular really emphasizes the reconstruction of the tabernacle. We talked about his theme, consider your ways. Zechariah is prophesying at the exact same time as Haggai. They would have been on the scenes working hand in hand among the returned captives. And so we're looking at a time frame of about 520, 518, you know, somewhere right around there, BC, so a little over 500 years before the time of Christ. There's going to be a lot more that's going to come later on. You mentioned it's the second to last book of the Old Testament, but we actually are going to have to back up and talk a little bit about the history of Nehemiah and Ezra, who come earlier in our Old Testament Bibles, but after chronologically, because they're historical books. So there's going to be a little bit more history later on where, even though the Lord raises up Haggai and Zechariah to encourage the people to continue doing the work, reconstructing the temple, worshiping the one true God after they've been gone for 70 years, the Lord's going to bring in Ezra and Nehemiah to kind of help finish that work up. Almost 100 years later, not quite, but he's going to use them to reconstruct the walls around Jerusalem, to finish the work of the temple, and to then kind of prepare the people for what the Lord is going to bring about in the coming centuries when the Lord fulfills his promise and sends the Christ who would dwell in this very temple that they are building now. So Zechariah is right at that time frame, just kind of as an encouragement to the people of Israel after the return of the captives.
Yeah, I think when you're talking about the return from the exile, that those are all very important points to remember, and you really got to keep that in mind here when you're kind of reading what Zechariah says. You got to really keep that in mind, that he is talking to a people who have returned from the exile. They were already punished a big theme throughout this book is don't be like your fathers, because right. It was their fathers who got them in trouble in the first place. And don't be like them. Don't return to idolatry. And that's a big theme. And like you're talking about, Haggai is a contemporary of Zechariah. Haggai, more or less, is really getting the people to build the temple, rebuild the temple. That's a big theme, consider your ways, as you mentioned. But Zechariah kind of has a broader scope. If you, you know, a lot of the times, Nathaniel, when we talk about these prophets, we encourage our listeners to just go through, read these minor prophets. It's not going to take you very long. It might take you a little bit longer to read Zechariah.
Right.
And there's a lot of interesting,
for more than one reason, too.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting details. I read it last night, and then I had to, like, stop, like, every other page and just kind of, like, figure out what he's talking about. It reads more like Daniel or Ezekiel or even Revelation. Can you kind of explain the apocalyptic nature, what's going on here in Zechariah?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Ben, and that's one of the reasons why. It's not just because it has 14 chapters that it takes longer to read. This is deeper stuff. And the eight visions, we have eight visions that are recorded in the book of Zechariah. And in these visions, these are apocalyptic in nature. So you mentioned both Daniel and Ezekiel. If you look back or think back to Daniel, Daniel has a couple of these visions too. You've got the beasts of Daniel. Ezekiel has a number of these different pictures or apocalyptic messages, also these visions that he sees. And all of these, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Zechariah, are going to be brought back up in the book of Revelation. Revelation, what John sees in the book of Revelation, really draws on these visions from these three Old Testament prophets, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Zechariah. And so what's tough about the book of Zechariah is that it starts off like history. In the opening verse of Zechariah, you have, in the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah the prophet, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, saying. So it gives us a historical context. We know exactly when it's taking place. And we've got this history. You know, he talks about, it's just like you and me talking. You know, it's pretty easy to follow. And so you get into that first couple of verses of Zechariah chapter 1, you're thinking, yeah, this is great. This is pretty easy to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into verse 7, and you get into those first of the visions. And you're going to have vision 1, the four horsemen, these four horses that are appearing. And again, this is going to be taken up in the book of Revelation. And it becomes a little bit more complicated. These are not literal things that Zechariah has seen. It is a vision. It is a symbol. Just like what we have in the opening verse of Revelation. He says these are a symbol, or these a sign of these things that are going to come. Zechariah does, like you mentioned, he does talk about the rebuilding of the temple, which is what Haggai focuses on specifically. But Zechariah's point is bigger than that. It's kind of like a scope and a spotter. You know, when you're hunting, you're going to have something that's broad. You want to see the whole picture. You know, and once you see something out there, then you're going to zoom in on that one specific thing. So Zechariah, he's the spotter. He's looking at the whole big picture here, whereas Haggai is going to zoom in specifically on the reconstruction of the temple. So in chapter 1, verse 16, Zechariah says, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts. And a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. So he does talk about the house,
mm-hmm.
but he's going to kind of let Haggai take care of that specific detail. Whereas he's going to talk more about the broader problem that the children of Israel, returning now from a heathen country, are dealing with. His main message is, return to me, says the Lord, and I will return to you. It's a call to repentance. That he says, you've been neglecting your responsibilities. You've been neglecting the things that the gifts that I have given to you for your benefit. He says, return to me. Stop worshiping these false gods. Stop being distracted by the things of this world. Return to me, and I will return to you. And Ben, you and I, as we have considered these Old Testament prophets, how many times have we talked about the fact that we look at these From a broad perspective, we come to the Old Testament prophets. Why would I want to read that stuff? That's old stuff. It doesn't have anything to do with me. But boy, look at the message that Zechariah has. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. And he's saying, hey, you Ben Libby, return to me, and I will return to you. He's talking to me, Nathaniel Mayhew. He says, hey, stop getting distracted with the things of this world. Return to me, and I will return to you. That is a message that we as Christians, we need to be reminded of. The Lord is always there. He's always present. But we get distracted with the things of this life. We forget to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the promise that he gives to us, all of these things will be added unto you. So that, if you're really going to boil down the message of Zechariah, I think that's it right there in a nutshell. It's a call to repentance. Reflect on what you're doing. Sort of like Haggai, consider your ways. What are you doing? How are you spending your time? So in that way, they're very, very similar. But Zechariah is a broader picture than the more specific or more narrow picture of Haggai.
Yes, yeah. I like the way you explain that, Nathaniel. It's something that Zechariah, like you mentioned, written somewhere in the 500 BC era, but very much a message relevant to us today. Still, we always need to return to God, because so often we fall away from what he has told us to do, and we need to constantly be reminded that if you return to me, I'll return to you, says the Lord. And definitely is made clear in this Old Testament book. You know, Nathaniel, a lot of the times when we're talking about these Old Testament prophets, a big question to ask is Jesus to be found here? Where is there promises of the Messiah? You know, sometimes in some books it's kind of hard, but not in this one. We see all kinds of messianic prophecies, references. You know, it's kind of reads like Revelation or Daniel. It also really reads like Isaiah, with all the messianic promises and content. Can you kind of go into that and show us where Zechariah is talking about Jesus here?
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Isaiah. And what's interesting about Zechariah, now again, I think Zechariah, sadly, it's sort of like Revelation in the New Testament, where a lot of people say, you know, you've heard that before, I don't want to read Revelation, it's too confusing.
Yes.
I think that Zechariah is probably one of those prophets also, even more so than the other minor prophets or major prophets that we've considered, because of the apocalyptic nature, sort of like Ezekiel. And yet, there are all kinds of pictures throughout the visions that point us to Jesus. In fact, the Messiah is mentioned and pictured more often in the book of Zechariah than any other Old Testament prophet, with the exception of Isaiah. That's saying a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
That's just huge. Mm-hmm. And as we get closer to the end of the Old Testament, the pictures that we have of the Messiah become more and more detailed, more numerous, and more specific. And so a lot of times you're going to find that Zechariah builds on some of the former prophets. He'll take a messianic picture from one of the other prophets, and he expands on it. You know, the Holy Spirit is going to say, hey, you know, we've talked about this before. I've already given you this picture of what the Christ is going to be, but let me give you some more details. And that's sort of one of the things that Zechariah does in his prophecy and in these visions, is we get more details about what we've heard prior. So one of the examples would be Zechariah talks about the righteous branch. We've heard about that in Isaiah. We've heard about that in Jeremiah. So this branch is a very, very familiar Old Testament picture of the Messiah. Now we're nearing the end, and Zechariah comes back to it again. And he says, I'm going to bring forth my servant, the branch. You know, Isaiah pictures it as a stump. You cut down a tree, and the sprout, you know, comes out of it. Or Jeremiah would picture the branch that is, again, reaching out. It was a picture of the Messiah. So Zechariah is going to build on that. We also have two other very important historical figures in the book of Zechariah, and they are going to play a role both historically as well as symbolically in the book of Zechariah and some of the visions. Those are the two main leaders of the time outside of the two prophets that we've already talked about, Zechariah and Haggai, and that would be the high priest Joshua, and then the governor or the secular leader Zerubbabel. And so these two figures are going to play a little bit of a role also. And in two of the visions, you're going to see how Zechariah uses both Zerubbabel and Joshua as a picture of Jesus. And this kind of takes us to the three offices of Christ. He serves as our prophet, our priest, and our king. So you have Zechariah the prophet, you have Joshua the priest, and you have Zerubbabel the king, not in a literal sense, but in a figurative sense. And so in some way, you see all three of these individuals there on the scene at the time, all picturing Jesus to some degree, who would serve in all three roles as our prophet, priest, and king. And so there's some neat typology that comes out in the book of Zechariah as well. So a lot of really wonderful messianic prophecies. Luther once spoke of Zechariah, and he said that it is one of the most comforting of all the prophets. And I think that's a really important thing for us to listen, because many times we are going to be slightly afraid of reading through the book of Zechariah because we don't understand what it is that it's saying. As you pointed out earlier, anytime you're reading through the Old Testament prophets or any section of Scripture, we want to look for Christ. If we can't find Christ, then we're missing the point of what that is there for, because it always points us to what God has done for us in Christ. And there's a whole lot of pictures of it in here in Zechariah.
Yes, there really is. And I think the book has so many great promises, so many sweet gems, that you might not even know that some of these things are from Zechariah. We're about to enter into the Lent season relatively soon, and a lot of these things that he's going to prophesy about will take place during the Passion. He prophesies about Jesus's triumphant entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. He talks about striking the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, which we see cited when Jesus gets arrested in the garden. He even talks about the potter's field and the 30 pieces of silver that Judas would get paid for betraying Jesus. And it's very precise. It's kind of like I see Zechariah as a revelation of the Old Testament. And what he does is he has this perspective where he's forecasting things that will happen, you know, pretty soon, you know, with the restoration of the temple, later, which will happen when the Messiah comes. And then he has a lot of things that happen at the end times. But there are some prophecies that people could look back to during the time of Jesus and say, hey, look at this. This is exactly what happened. They will look on him who they pierced, and will mourn, like the grief over losing a firstborn child. And that's exactly what Zechariah prophesies.
Like you pointed out, all of these are so fitting going into the season of Lent. In fact, as you were talking about that, Ben, I was thinking, I don't think I've ever seen a Lenten series on Zechariah, but man, it would be perfect.
You could do it.
You really could. If you look at all of these different messianic prophecies that are fulfilled in the season of Lent, you mentioned the 30 pieces of silver, so that you have the betrayal, the potter's field, which comes out. You have Palm Sunday in Zechariah chapter 9. You have the pierced one. The one who is pierced, so you have the picture of the cross. You have the cleansing fountain in chapter 13. You have the smitten shepherd in chapter 13. You have the branch, which we talked about in chapter 3. It comes up again in chapter 6. The coming judge and the righteous king. You could put together a beautiful Lenten series on just the messianic prophecies that are found in Zechariah. And a lot of these are very – it's not just like, wow, that's a coincidence. We have examples in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where they actually quote these sections from Zechariah and say, this was fulfilled today. As Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, Matthew quotes Zechariah chapter 9 here, and he says, this is fulfilled. This is what Zechariah was prophesying. When he wrote these words, Jesus just fulfilled it as he rode into Jerusalem on that colt, the foal of a donkey. Or you have the same thing with the 30 pieces of silver, where those verses are referenced and they say, this is in fulfillment of what Zechariah said in the Old Testament. There's also a reference from Jeremiah that's mentioned in connection with the potter's field, but this 30 pieces of silver. It's not just the fact that it was a coincidence, which is what a lot of people want to do with Zechariah. tell you what, I don't know how, where you get a coincidence when this is 500 years in advance. This is not guesswork. This is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, and the gospel writers repeatedly get
fulfilled in Jesus. It's not just oh, he got lucky once.
Right.
It's over and over again throughout Jesus' life. So what Zechariah said 500 years removed comes true.
Right. You know, the most familiar one is probably Zechariah 9. Of all of these, this is probably the most familiar of those fulfilled in the New Testament. And as I mentioned, Matthew quotes directly from this, but all of the gospel writers bring this up in the account of Palm Sunday, that Jesus goes and he gets a donkey, the colt. He rides into Jerusalem on that colt. And we have here, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." You know, Jesus did ride triumphantly into Jerusalem as the king. In fact, the people there on Palm Sunday were singing his praises. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. As you pointed out, they were recognizing him as their king. They were saying that was the case. They understood. They might have had a misconception of what Jesus came to do as king, but they were confessing that he was the king, and that he was coming in the likeness foretold here by Zechariah.
Yeah. So, and I guess just trying to wrap up this, put a bow on it. I mean, everything you said, very, very true. Is there some, I'm just trying to think, Nathaniel, of some way we can give our listeners some kind of insight? What should they be, If we encourage them to go through this book, what should they really keep in mind? What should, obviously, the word of God does get fulfilled, and it is powerful. It comes true. You can't stop the power of God. But what should the listeners be looking for when they read through some of these very interesting details that Zechariah puts down?
I think that one of the things that they will see as they're going through this is they're gonna come upon quite a few things that are familiar. So you're going to read through Zechariah 9, and you're going to say, hey, that sounds familiar. Why does that sound familiar? Now, with that one, you might just automatically connect it to Palm Sunday. When you get to Zechariah chapter 11, the 30 pieces of silver, throw it to the potter, that one might be familiar because it, again, is quoted in the New Testament. But I think the key in reading through Zechariah is, if something sounds familiar, stop for just a minute. Read it again. Check the cross references in your Bible. Look and see if there's maybe some references to the Gospels in particular, maybe broader than that, but specifically in the Gospels. And if you see a Gospel reference in the margin of your Bible, look it up. Take a minute, take a break from Zechariah, go to the New Testament, see what it has to say, because a lot of times it's going to show you, hey, this is what Zechariah was actually pointing to. He was pointing to Jesus right here in this particular situation in the Gospels. So Zechariah is going to be a little bit different than some of the other prophets of the Old Testament that you can just read through and you kind of grasp the idea if you know the historical background. And that's one of the reasons why we've been doing these podcasts, is to provide that historical background so it makes a little bit more sense. With Zechariah, it's not so important to know – it is important to know the background. But with Zechariah, I think it's more important to know the foreground. You got to jump ahead into the future in order to understand what it is that Zechariah is saying in the past. And so that would be the one encouragement that I would give to our listeners if they're reading today and they're planning to sit down and read through the book of Zechariah. Instead of backing up and knowing the past, in this case, it might be more important to know the future, because it's going to interpret what Zechariah is actually predicting here in these verses.
Yes, yes. A very interesting book, full of many details. Like I said, I read this last night, and it took me in all different directions, just doing what you just advised there, Nathaniel, just kind of looking up all the different cross-references and saying, oh, that's interesting, that sounds like this. And we would encourage our listeners to do that. And I think what you're going to come away with when you study this book is that our God is a God that not only tells us it's going to be okay, I'm going to have give you a savior, but it's so intricately woven, and there's all these very specific, complicated things that gets fulfilled with Jesus. And as you were saying, Nathaniel, the closer you get to Jesus coming, the more specific, you know, and more narrowed down the scope gets, more zoomed in. And that's exactly what is happening here. And it's just an awesome reminder that our God is in control, and that he knows what's going on, and everything that happens, God can turn to the good of those who love him. And definitely in the case of Jesus Christ coming, our salvation was secured. So thank you very much, Nathaniel. A very interesting discussion with you. And we pray that you have been edified with us here today, and that you'll come back and listen to another podcast with us. Thank you.
We hope that you will join us again next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast, as we continue to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Until next time, take confidence in your Savior's promise that he will always be with you, even to the end of the world.